It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
You're listening to a conversation about Matt Goldstein.
I think you're not suited for this job.
What did I do?
In addition to being incompetent, you threatened my reputation, and not just today.
Mr. Draper, I try to cover for you all the time.
You do not cover for me. You manage people's expectations.
Can you be more specific?
You really want that?
No, I guess not.
You're not suited for this job. It's not an insult. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. We're going to have a little phonorama in the next segment.
Cool.
We've got our first buzz of the afternoon coming up here. I want to really thank again everybody that came out to Bungalow Billiards on Friday night.
Yes.
It was a great time at that party. We had a great time at that party.
We sure did there, Mike.
God, that's a lot of people like per square foot to meet, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really just, it's amazing.
I love it.
It's like nonstop. It's, I like it.
We have to do this again
We
soon.
Really must do it again
I do,
very soon.
But you see, being the kind of drinker guy that I am,
mm-hmm.
I'd love to have more room. You know what I mean? I'd like to have more room and have more time.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean?
The,
it's just, there's just not
the
enough
problem.
Time and not enough room.
Mm-hmm.
Any room, Mike, can be filled.
You're right. Any room can
no
be.
No matter how, I mean, we could be at the ballroom at the Grand Hyatt.
I'm happy.
We could still, but either way, it was great.
I'm very happy. And
to a person, everyone was delightful.
Let's go to Tom in Aldi, Virginia. Aldi, Virginia. Tom, you're on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, Mike. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. We're really happy about Friday night. Did you have a good time? I see you were there.
I had a blast. We went go-kart racing for a company event, and then afterwards we said, we don't really want to hang out with these people. Let's go do something fun.
Good for you. Good. Well, I'm glad you came out to the big event, and we're going to do them, a lot of them. We're going to be out and about all the time with the Buzz Babe, so look for the next location when we go out there.
Yeah.
Could happen very soon. Sooner than later. So Rob is in the car, landfill, God bless landfill. You know, Landville, the butt, and I mean big butt, of so many of my jokes on Friday night, and he's a sweetheart of a kid. You know,
so nice.
He really is, and I guess he was nice enough to hang around and drive you home.
Yeah, and he lives sort of out where I live, but not really. So, I mean, I really do want to thank him, and when I get some money through my fingers, I'll
He
buy.
Lives in Fudge, Virginia, doesn't he?
He does. He lives right? in South Fudge.
Just a little past Leesburg. It's the land of Fudge. It's Marzipan, isn't he, in Marzipan County?
At the intersection of Marzipan and Fudge. Chip, right there.
On Brownie Drive.
He lives in a gingerbread house.
He does. Okay, we got to stop.
Okay.
So he gives you a ride home.
And like I said, I just talked his ear off the whole way
that
home.
Poor man.
I know, but he was really nice about it. And I got out of the car. I think I got home about 2.
2?
I don't know.
That's fine.
I remember going to
I've
bed.
I've done many of those.
I remember going to bed at about 3:30.
Attaboy.
But
that's a good thing.
I got home and I
you
went.
You got home at 2 and you went to bed at 3:30. Was it television watching? Or
there was
were you,
there was TV, and there was I surfed the net, and I don't remember.
Did you watch the replay of the Olympic opening ceremonies
no,
like
no,
I did?
No, because then I would have been in bed.
Okay.
Because I did watch it. So anyway, I got home, and I went upstairs, and Mrs. Spiewak was asleep. So I woke her, and Carrie, it was really good. And if I had, at that point, gone to bed, everything would have been fine.
But you didn't?
No, I was hungry.
Oh
yes. Yes.
Because,
yes.
You know, we really hadn't eaten except for some of, you know, Erica's pickle chips.
Everybody say it. I am fat.
Yes, say the land of inhibitions being lost.
So I strolled down to the kitchen, and I made myself 2 grilled cheese sandwiches, and I ate them. But it wasn't
That's
quite
not bad.
Enough. Well...
There's more?
Yeah, I said, you know, this. I really can't. So I had some more beer.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
Yeah.
You had more beer alone when you got home?
When I got home, yeah.
See,
I
do that if I have, like, guests coming back, like the after party at my house. Mm-hmm. But I don't think even I, Rob, will knock one back at the end of a night if I'm by my onesies.
Man, I think, I don't know. I think I had, like, 20 beers that day and a couple shooters.
Rob Spiewak, this is your intervention.
Now, I like I said, the whole sort of situation is sort of foggy, so I went up and I let's cut to the next morning.
All right.
And now, before you do that, do you want to say hello to your Erica?
I do.
Erica is on the line for Rob.
Oh,
Spiewak.
Bring her on.
Let's meet this hottie. I want to know more about Erica.
She's lovely.
Erica, you're hello. On the Mike O'Mara Show. How are you, darling?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Boy, you sound sexy, Erica.
I promised you a shout out, and did I deliver?
Thank you very much, Rob.
But of course.
I appreciate that.
Can you describe Erica first?
We had a great party on Friday night.
I need a visual. I need, because she sounds sexy. I want a visual.
I would say, let's see if I go anywhere wrong here, Erica. You are petite, maybe 5'7".
Yeah, all right.
Reddish hair, short, lovely face.
Really?
Well, thank you. I wish I was 5'7", but I'll take it.
How about a rack?
Nice, as I recall.
Why did Rob keep you from us, Erica?
You know, I think the only reason Rob sat down with me was because, one, there was a crazy Marine-looking
guy. Oh, yeah, that guy with the flat top. Did you see him?
Yes. Mm.
He really looked
was
like
salvation from crazy Marine-looking guy.
Crazy Marine guy was a close talker and maybe a bit of a dandy.
Right.
And he really looked like he had just gotten back from an audition for Sound of Music.
Erica, are you a single? Are you a single lady, Erica?
No, I am engaged.
Oh, where was that? Yeah. Was the big fiancé there?
He was not there, but I do have him listening to your show when he's in his car.
Wonderful.
So he's a fan now.
Wonderful.
That's
really
good.
All right. So
tell him I did nothing untoward.
No, of course. Well,
when's the big wedding day?
It was the plate of pickles that really drew Rob to our table. I just want to be honest.
That's a lie.
Now
I sat down before the pickles. Tell
and
the truth,
I'm
Erica.
I'm sorry to hear that plate of pickles sent you off the wagon.
How many beers for Erica? How many beers, Rob?
I don't know. I would say that she probably, for me?
Yeah, you know exactly.
Couple.
Really?
Yeah,
she's a two-beerer?
Yeah, I mean, she was just delightful.
Erica, when are you getting married, darling?
Maybe June.
June. Maybe, but nothing like etched in stone, right?
We have not set a date.
No, do you and your fiance have what would be described as a somewhat open relationship?
No.
Oh,
you'll be pleased to know that.
No. Oh,
see, now the fantasy is gone. You could have lied to me, Erica, and made it more fun.
You may want to revisit that.
But you'll be
I'm
pleased to know,
person.
Erica, Carrie, and I have not yet set a date for our divorce either.
Erica's not laughing.
Oh, no, she's not.
And
it's not
funny. He's probably driving in his car right now.
Oh,
going,
so you're
no,
a little nervous about
enough.
That. Okay. What, Erica, you had a good time at the event?
It was a great party, and I was really excited to meet you guys because I listen to you every day. And, Mike, you may remember I introduced myself to you.
Oh,
I
remember.
You
I remember.
That my first day listening was the last day of the Don and Mike show.
Oh, I remember. Yes, I remember you. Yes, hottie, hottie, hottie.
Yeah, very cute.
Erica, it was nice to meet you. I hope you come out to every function we do from now on.
I will certainly try.
And bring the fiance. We'll get him really drunk.
Next time I
don't.
Will drag him out.
Okay, thank
no,
you,
leave
Erica.
Leave him at home.
Have a great show.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Erica.
Bye.
There she goes. Oh, you old Casanova, you!
It happens.
You old super studly. Look at Rob's V-Wag.
There was an open
Sit
seat.
Sit next to me.
So
I have pickles, and I have a big
and,
pickle. So you washed your cheese sandwiches, your grilled cheese sandwiches,
with
down
few
with
beers.
Some beer. Oh,
yeah.
A few beers.
Yeah, and so, now, like I said, the whole evening is sort of hazy. I was telling Beth Ann, talking with Landfill, I don't even remember doing the talking, but I remember sort of hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like an out-of-body thing.
Right. But not so out-of-body that you didn't, like, swill down some more brewskis once you got back to your house.
Let's skip. I was trying to figure. I think maybe I had the equivalent of, like, 20 or 21 beers that day.
Is that the only beverage you enjoyed with the grilled cheese sandwiches was beer?
Yeah.
Okay, what else? What after that?
Well,
what
let me skip ahead. To make a better story if we jump ahead to the next morning.
All right.
At about 9.
Okay.
When I got up and I had that sort of...
Let me see if I can guess. I know we jumped ahead, but let me see if I can guess. Because you're going to talk about finding evidence of what you did.
Oh, you're so
okay. Good,
and not just like on the counter. I'm talking like CSI.
Oh, good, good, good.
So I get out of bed and I say, amazingly, I'm still alive. That's good,
right?
And not feeling all that hungover
good.
Yet. But I did have that sort of dry mouth.
Cotton
you know?
Mouth. Mm-hmm.
So I get up, and of course I have to go to the bathroom like crazy.
Of course.
So I
everything coming out of every orifice.
all orified.
Yes. All at once.
So I go into the bathroom. I said, you know what would really I need to do is this, because, you know, it's still the allergy season. So after I pee, I go to the sink and I not that.
No,
I do one of these. and I spit in the sink.
Uh-huh. Oh, God.
And what comes out really resembles a Tootsie Roll.
It's not blood.
And
is
I
it?
No, and I look
it's
close.
It's not like arterial blood.
Because if it's blood, I would have said, God, well, there you go again. I wouldn't have been surprised.
Arterial blood.
But I looked, and it was, look at that. It's chocolate. Of some sort that had lingered in my mouth all night.
Uh-huh. Chocolate.
And I said, now what was that? Because I remember the grilled cheese and the, oh, yeah. And so I get dressed, I go downstairs, and on the coffee table, there is just decimated Gone. A box and a half of Girl Scout cookies. Gone.
Oh, what no. kind were they?
A that. Whole box of the lemon creams.
Oh, good
which
for
is
the
an
bowels.
Odd choice because that's not even a kind of cookie that I really
like. Yeah, like it was just a. It was
but
there.
It was there.
It was
right.
available and you grabbed it.
And then
it.
When I say half, I really should say 2/3 because there was two rows gone uh-huh. of the chocolate covered peanut butter tagalongs.
Ah, yes.
Just gone. And so
oh
just
my God.
On the table, there's cellophane and there's boxes and there's cookie crumbs
did
you, and beer bottles.
Did you call 911?
No, I did not. And then I looked into the toaster.
No, this goes
no,
this, on.
And, well, yeah, here's more evidence that okay. there is just cheese everywhere because I didn't actually fry the sandwiches.
Yeah.
I buttered the bread and put them in the toaster
for,
oven.
So it would be quicker and easier.
I thought that was
because you
the
were too
fast,
drunk to, like, get a frying pan
this
out.
This is the fastest way to melt the cheese.
I know.
But there's probably the equivalent of a quarter pound of provolone in my toaster oven. And so I made, what was it, waffles for the kids on
yeah,
Sunday.
That's the one better way to have waffles.
Sunday morning, we had their toaster waffles.
Right,
so
right.
we hit and just... Blue smoke coming out of it. What is that?
Daddy, these waffles taste like provolone cheese.
That's cheese. Don't worry about it. But
so
anyway,
besides the Girl Scout cookies, did you eat anything else?
No, not as far as I know.
Two grilled cheese and a box and a half of Girl Scout cookies?
Yeah, and then I got up and Carrie had to go to work, but she was going to take me here to Fairfax to pick up my automobile.
Was right. Johnny Acid talking to you at that point?
Oh, Johnny and the refluxes?
Johnny reflux?
Yeah, the burps were a little tart.
How were your refluxes?
They were fine.
Right.
So I got up and I came in and I picked up the car and I turned the air conditioning on full blast and now I'm starting to feel like maybe I'd had an evening
right
but I still had to pick up my kids at
oh,
my sister-in-law's
it's
house.
A delayed hangover
so I went and got them and
what time in the morning did you get rolling what time were you up and about
I spit the chocolate at about 9.
Ooh, so you're talking nice. About
6 hours of sleep.
6 hours after too much evening. That's
and so I finally got the kids home, and I think my sister-in-law and her husband were very, very aware that I had been out. And it was a mercifully brief visit. The kids were packed and in the car.
Right.
And I get home, and I don't know even what they do. I think one of them plays video games, and one
right.
and I say, I'm going to go upstairs and look at a movie in my bedroom. Because it's on my TiVo. And kids, if you need me, I'll be up there. But the only
too.
Way I can watch it is in the bedroom. And I'm explaining it to the kids.
How long did you last when you got up there?
Not past the credits.
That's it.
But
you
I'm
were out.
Propped up. I mean, they're all the pillows. I'm propped up.
You're awakened to the smell of smoke.
I wake up and it's the TV is back on. There's a 2.5 hour movie. Uh-huh. So it's obviously at least 3 hours. And there's just drool. All over my shirt.
Oh, nice.
But then I felt a little better. But then the day's mostly gone. Then
yes.
it's nearly 5 o'clock.
Exactly.
But luckily, I got everything together and lived to tell about it. And what a great party.
What a great party
it
was, Robbie.
It was.
That was a good time. We'll get to everybody's side of the story. I want to talk to Katie a little bit later on. Apparently, she had some fun, too. I had no idea all of you were out hurting yourselves that night.
Katie lost.
What have I done?
Katie lost a bit of a Saturday, too.
Yes, sir.
That's what I hear.
All I know is Katie was telling me, as she said, man, I finally brought myself to get in the shower at 10:30. I said, you know, that's about the time I was rallying too, so that's not bad. She goes, no, 10:30 at night.
Yeah.
Oh. 10:30 p.m.
Oh, dear.
Good time was had by all. Let's get the very first buzz of the afternoon, and then we'll talk more about a great time at that party.
It was
we'll
a great party,
take
Mike.
Your calls as well, but let's get Buzz here and find out what's happening in the world of news.
John Edwards may be willing to take a paternity test, but his ex-mistress is refusing to allow one for her daughter.
Sounds prearranged to me.
Yeah.
He also says he cannot explain the photograph of him holding a baby. He says he doesn't recognize the shirt or the baby. This after Edwards confessed Friday that he's lied about the affair for some time, including while he was a presidential candidate.
Did you get a look at this on Nightline? Did you see the Edwards interview?
No, you know, I haven't watched. I've seen little tiny clips of it. I've
well,
read
that's
the
what
transcripts
I'm talking about.
And that sort of thing.
May I run a clip?
Yeah, run a clip. Go ahead.
We have
this
that.
From, what is this, from Nightline it was?
Yeah, yes. Nightline okay. on Friday night.
Let me ask you the question. Did you have an affair with Miss Hunter?
Well, can I say first, thank you, Bob, for coming and honoring the request and giving me a chance to talk. In 2006, 2 years ago, I made a very serious mistake. A mistake that I am responsible for and no one else. In 2006, told Elizabeth about the mistake. Asked her for her forgiveness ass.
See, he's so keyed up.
A little flippant, I thought.
You know, I'm not used to him using that kind of language.
I think he really puts his
That's
point
on
though.
Is it longer than that, or is that the short version?
I got a lot of them.
Okay, well, I want more of that later.
And you shall have it.
Hey, incidentally, thank you very much to all of you in listening land. Yeah, we broke this, you know, with that guy, Alan Butterfield. We didn't break this story, but we were all over it because we found it to be credible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, and, you know, it was like 3 weeks
ago. Of course, we're not
as
responsible as major news organizations.
But we gambled and we were right.
We gambled and we were right, and I think we deserve credit. And we should have been in that Howard Kurtz interview, I'm sorry, the article that Howard Kurtz wrote in the Washington Post about, did you see that article? That article was basically saying what I was saying for 2 weeks, right. 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
You know, why isn't the mainstream media covering this?
And you weren't cited?
No, they didn't give us any credit.
Kurtz never does.
Yeah, shocker, the Washington Post wouldn't give us any legitimacy.
Well, although Edward still hasn't clearly denied that hush money was paid to the mistress, he says he neither asked for that money or provided that money. He says he had nothing to do with the process.
That's actually was my name when I had an ill-fated, you know, brief stint at trying to be a porno actor.
Really?
What? I was Hush Money.
Hush Money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Never worked real well.
I remember.
Edward says he was visiting Riel in the hotel the night that he was caught by the National Enquirer. And he was there, he says, to tell Riel not to tell anyone what they had done.
How many believe that?
They had apparently dated for about a year.
How many people really believe that? I mean, that's the problem, is that once you have done this, once you have evaded this, you're a liar. You're an obvious liar.
Yep.
And now everything comes into play here. Now, the fact is, the guy's political career is over as far as elective office. You're not going to see that happening. Yes, Ms. McBride? You've slunk into the studio. Why are you sneaking into the
studio?
I think
she wants to weigh in.
Yeah, I just want to weigh in. I mean, it makes so much sense. It was better to travel cross-country 3,000 miles to tell her, don't tell anyone, than to email or maybe call her on the telephone.
Yeah, I mean, and right now, everything that... And Bethann, did
she
you see the interview?
So much faster than she enters.
Yeah, she runs away. She's like a bad waitress sometimes.
She really is.
She comes over to the table, and then she's gone before...
Come in, super helper. He's speaking
to you.
Did you
see the interview on Nightline?
No, I didn't.
Okay, the thing is, there's a word. I think Kurtz might have this in his article as well. Creepy is the word.
Mm-hmm.
He's creepy. For some reason now
he's creepy.
Yeah, I'm sure he's been creepy all the way along.
Right.
I've never been a fan. Been a big fan. There are people that love the guy, though. Right. But he comes across as the slimiest kind of car salesman
Slicky boy,
would ever see where he's just going, you know, no.
If you have any doubt of his slime, go on YouTube and Google or search, and they have some of the webisodes that this lady Riel shot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you see him playing to the camera and being cutesy boy for the camera.
Flirtatious.
Knowing full well that she's the one taking the video,
yeah.
And it makes it all the grosser.
It's really creepy. That story, of course, you know, John Edwards, the affair that he had went wide over the weekend. Alan Butterfield will be on the show a little bit later.
Yes.
And he is the reporter who broke this story.
Right.
And it's just interesting the way the Enquirer is perceived, and rightly so. I mean, the Enquirer's had a lot of crap over the years.
They have a history of their own.
They've got that history, so that, you know, they've earned that reputation.
Right.
And I think Alan Butterfield would be the first one to admit that.
Sure.
But Mr. Butterfield, if you're interested in listening to this, ladies and gentlemen, he says that Mr. Edwards is still lying, that we have not even scratched the surface of this, and he will be here to tell us about the very latest. Bethann, you spoke to him today and said he's still jacked up about
it,
right?
He's fired up.
Yeah, he's fired up now because now finally there's legitimacy, and now you're going to see, you know, you're going to see all the journalists jumping on this because now the, you know, the lazy ones, the ones that didn't have the balls, you know, to jump on this early on, they're going to pile on now.
Yeah, maybe you can help me get my head straight about this because in my mind, it doesn't matter now what's true or what isn't true. We know that he had the affair and that he lied about it while he was a presidential candidate.
Well, the love child is a significant thing.
I know, but why is that our business? Why do we care at this point?
Like they were doing the math, they went back during the office.
You know, case
against Hillary.
See, in my mind, case closed. We now know he was lying. But we're done with him. He's no longer.
Tell you why it's significant. Why it is significant is there is a lot of difference between an affair, a dalliance, and fathering a child and paying hush money to somebody to support a child, because you're talking about you know, something that people will be interested.
But
Buzz, you're talking about. We were so close.
Right.
We were a breath away of having, this would have been a Kerry Edwards administration, but that doesn't matter to me. The fact is, this is a guy that has stood on the national stage
for years, and I think people, this is just about people's interest in this. They want to know, how bad a liar is he? And is he still lying to us? Because he is a public figure. I'm still interested, and I'm from the other side.
Further,
you know, I don't like to see this happen, but
further,
you know, I'm curious about it.
Any hush money was paid, or any sort of money, or any sort of consideration.
Funds.
Right.
If it's campaign funds, or if it's something funneled down from the government, very much so.
All right.
He's stole.
And he is as public a figure as they get. He's a senator.
And the whole thing about a love child, to me, is a little more sordid.
Never meant to be.
A little more sordid than just an affair. And, you know, I don't think the guy should be let off the hook at this stage of the game. I'd like to know.
Get
now
to the bottom of it.
Now, but you, do they have a defense? I think it's perfect. I don't think you're ever going to find out because she's saying she's valuing the privacy of the child. And you know what? That's that. If the mother says that, I don't think they'll. If the mother's not pursuing it, then fine.
He did it. He lied. He got caught. He's confessed. I'm done. You know,
he hasn't confessed to being the father of the child.
I know, but why do we care anymore?
Because of what I just told you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I think it's going to go away. We'll ask Alan Butterfield about that. I think this might go away. We'll see what happens.
Edwards does admit there was a power rush, that when you're a viable presidential candidate, quoting him, an egotism, a narcissism that leads you to believe you can do whatever you want. You're invincible, and there will be no consequences. Nothing, says Edwards, could be further from the truth. And now he knows that.
All right.
These stories and more at MikeOMaraShow.com. Coming up in the Hollywood Buzz, we lose two black icons, and Matt McConaughey plants a tree. And in the final buzz, Olympic fever and other pandemics. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you, Buzz. Okay, you guys ready for just a little phonorama?
Sure.
We haven't really gotten a chance to talk to you, my friends, so give us a call, 877-365-3636. Phonorama, anything you would like to talk about, whether it's John Edwards, or you want to talk about the Olympics, or the Olympic coverage, or you want to talk about BYOB Friday, or if you were at our event on Friday, we're going to give you the chance because it's your chance to talk to us. Get on the line to get on the air, 877-365-3636. Phone-a-rama and more fun coming up right after these messages.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.